Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Gallagher. And today we are going to talk about medical and dental insurance. Now, I know a lot of people have been having some issues with insurance, and it seems we're having a little issues with Blog Talk Radio. So if you could give me a minute, we're having some fierce storms here in New Orleans area. I just want to make sure that everyone can hear me. Okay. So if you hear any thunder, we go offline, we'll just come right back online. So I was talking today about if you have a medical or a dental problem, what do you do? Especially when you don't have insurance, you're kind of, what do we do? Do we, you know, what do we think about? What do we say? Where do we find help? Or do we ask our friends? Do we look in the phone book? Do we say, I have something that's really hurting so bad I possibly can't do anything about it? Or what do we really say? So if I could just go back a little bit and give you a little history, possibly this will help clear some things up so you can get some answers or ask some questions that might benefit you. I'm a dental hygienist of 30 years. Went to Loyola University in New Orleans in the 70s, and I worked in the New Orleans area for about 10 years. And then I moved to Pennsylvania, and I worked there for another 10. And then I went to Arizona and worked there for another 10. So I've been pretty much around the bend and working in different areas, different types of people, different economic challenges that people may have had. I know when I grew up in Pennsylvania, everybody would just walk down to the corner dentist, he would take care of your teeth, and you walked home, and that was after school. But then when I went to Loyola in New Orleans, a lot of people did not have insurance. And that was something that I didn't even think about was insurance. We always just went to the dentist, and I never knew how it got paid for or how it didn't get paid for. But what I did realize is that when we needed patients at Loyola to be able to work on in the clinic, we would go, be expected to go out and find our own patients. So how did this really happen? There were many people in the area that had been into the system of knowing how to get some help at the dental clinic, so they would come in and they put their name on a list and they would be able to get services. However, if we didn't have enough patients, we would have to go out and walk the streets of New Orleans to find those patients. I can remember many a days going up and down Canal Street, New Orleans, looking for people who needed to have some dental work done. Some people were kind of shy. Some people would come. Some would say they'd come, and they never did come. So there were a lot of opportunities there to be able to get help. Now, what I do know is that a lot of people didn't really want the help or weren't going to commit to coming into the clinics. And then when it came to working in Pennsylvania, I noticed a lot more people in different economic challenges would come in and say, well, I don't have insurance, so just take out the tooth and give me some medicine and I'll be on my way. Or they had the means and they had a few things done, but there was not a whole lot of dental work done. Then when I moved to Arizona, it was totally the other end of the ballpark at the offices that I worked in. It was start from one end of my teeth, fix all the teeth, do everything that needed to be done, and we're going to figure out a way to pay for it, and that was the type practices that were there. Well, when it came to getting work for my own teeth, there were so many different things going on in dentistry in the past 30 years with, do we put silver in our teeth? Do we put white in our teeth? Do we get implants? Do we put veneers all across the front? What do we do with our teeth? So I can tell you, I just kind of sat back and didn't partake of all of that, and I've been watching the trends in dentistry going from silver fillings to white fillings to bondings. And a lot of people are starting to have trouble with those bondings and white fillings. But they're not going back. Some are going back to silver fillings, but there's very few dentists that do them now. And if they don't, they're just having the teeth taken out or they're living with the pain. So if you're living with pain right now with the dental tooth problem, what do you do? So I would suggest to you to think, sit down and take a piece of paper and think about the tooth. Does it hurt when you're biting it? Does it hurt when you are sleeping? How does it hurt when you're sleeping? Does it wake you up? Is it worse with cold or hot? Is it worse with sweet or sour? Write those different things down before you even begin to think about what kind of dental care you need. Does it hurt when you brush your teeth? Does it hurt when you don't? Are you taking any medications at this time? Do you have a heart condition? Do you have diabetes? Is it your gum that's bleeding? Is it maybe not your tooth? Once you turn around and have a big, clear picture of all of these things that it could potentially be, I would suggest you try to find a dentist then. How do you do that? Well, everybody's just in the phone book or ask your friends. But what do you do when you don't have insurance? And the first words out of their mouth, yes, we can see you, but do you have insurance? And then if you have insurance, there are some offices that have the policy, I'll see you today, but if you don't, they got a policy, I'll see you whenever I can get to you. So I would suggest that when you call the office, say, I am looking for a new dentist, I have some work that needs to be done, and I'm in pain today, would it be possible to come in? And when they ask you about insurance, say, I am a fee-for-service person, I will be able to pay for my visit. If you're not able to pay for your visit, ask the office right then and there on the telephone before going in. Ask, do they have a sliding scale? What information do I need to bring that would allow me to be able to pay on a sliding scale? What else could I possibly do to be able to have an idea about how much I should bring with me? And what if I bring the 200 that you suggest and maybe it's 100 more? Can I pay for that in payments? Also, do they accept credit cards, debit cards, Medicaid? These are different things that you need to ask ahead of time. A lot of people have dental coverage for children with the CHIPS program, but as you're an adult, you don't have Medicaid dental other than an emergency through an emergency room, which is where a lot of people are going now, except when you go to an emergency room for a tooth problem, all you're going to get is medication. Rarely will they ever do anything for you. They are not equipped to do that. There are no dentists on staff in emergency rooms. You'll be referred to a clinic. So it's very, very important to know. So sitting around and waiting on Friday afternoon to decide what to do about your tooth is not potentially a good idea. You can also call up the local dental schools where they train dentists and ask, is there a waiting list that you can get on? They'll tell you, we have a 6-year waiting list. That's fabulous. Put your name on that waiting list anyway. Then also tell the girl on the phone or the man, whoever it is, that you would also be able to be available if there was a cancellation. There are many times when it rains and a lot of people get off of work and they want to come in. There's also days when it's really sunny and people need to be working outside, so they won't come in. Different reasons, different areas, but it is definitely something to think about. So what else do you think about? You could also ask, are there local dentists who will work in any clinics, community clinics? There are several community clinics. They may be for the elderly. And ask them what their elderly means. Is it 65 and older? Sometimes it's 50 and older. You have no idea what elderly might mean. Ask what those reasons are. Then also ask about children. What do you do when you have a child that has dental need? 99.9% of the time, the office will take that child and they will fill out their CHIPS form. CHIPS is Children's Health Insurance Program, which is a federal program. And once you come into the dentist office, they'll fill that form out there, and then they'll be able to take care of that through there or with Medicaid through there, depending on what your child might need. It is so important to not let it, to not go in. You really need to go. Sorry. Best thing to do is make sure you go. With a child, you have a baby tooth that has an infection. You have a permanent tooth underneath it. It's going to affect that permanent tooth. If it's a permanent tooth, it can affect your jaw. It can affect top teeth. It can go up into your sinuses, up into your eyes, up into, you know, ears. Just go get some help. So these are a few suggestions for dental. Now medical. Medical has been a quandary for so many times because what happens is you don't go to the doctor. You say, I'm just not going to go. I don't have the way to pay for it. I'm not going to go. So is it your fear that's keeping you back from going? Is it your fear of the unknown, fear you don't want to talk to them, fear that you might not have enough money, fear you maybe don't even want to know what's wrong with you, or that you just don't care? Again, waiting for an emergency room, you will definitely have very extensive bills. And when you have those really high bills, then that tends to have problems with your credit. It will have problems with getting school loans. It will have problems with all different things all the way around your life. So if you can avoid going to the emergency room at all costs, that's usually the best thing to do. Urgent cares will generally work with you. If you say, I have $100 today, and if it's $200, can I pay the balance? They're always willing to take some payment up front, always. And you ask them about the balance. They can put it on credit cards. They can put them out in payments. Some medical offices now have where you sign a piece of paper there, and they don't run it through your credit because they really don't care, because they know where you are. They may know that you work across the street or down the road. They see you at the grocery store. They know that you'll be able to make the payments because you have a job. So what you do is you go in and you ask them, what are the means to be able to pay for this balance? And see how that helps. Always, 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 even if you're making $40,000 a year, you have no insurance, you have four people in your family or more, you should be getting a sliding scale. You should also be available for community care. Community care, you go in, sometimes they have you pay a deposit or a small copay, and you'll pay the balance on your way out. But it's based on your income. What's very important to know about that is that you ask them, am I eligible for any community services with my income? Always bring your old tax return or your last pay stub. And then you would know how many people were in the family. Usually if you come in on an emergency in a community center, they will give you 7 to 10 working days to be able to bring that information back with you if you don't have it. But always, always, always ask, because there are so many federal, state, and local programs out there now. If you're sick and your family is getting sick and you take all of your money to pick out which one's the sickest to go to the doctor, potentially you could go there and you could ask these questions. Step it up. Ask these questions. Hey, you know, everybody's getting sick in the family. This is what I have. This is how much I can afford. You know, am I eligible for anything? And tell them. And they may say, yes, you're eligible. Go get the kids, bring them back. You've got to ask. And that has been the biggest problem, is that everybody is afraid to ask or they don't know what to ask for. So if it's $40,000 or less for a family or four, you should be asking. $30,000 for three, $20,000 for two, $10,000 for one. Keep those numbers in mind. $40,000 in the 70s, man, you were doing great. You were the upper middle class. $40,000 now, you're getting closer to the poverty limits for the amount of four. So I can understand where it's very hard to find that money, especially, you know, if you've got to pay out for kids for school these days, or equipment that they need for school, or your equipment for your own work or your own business, or gas at the price it is now. $40,000 is not a lot. So it's very, very important to ask about benefits. And that means if you are 18, 20, 25, 40, 50, 60, does not matter your age, does not matter if you're married or unmarried or kids or no kids, ask for what programs they have. Tell them your problems and they will tell you how they can help you. If they know up front, they're more likely to work with you. What they don't like is when you say, I'll write you out a check today. You give them a check, the check bounces, and then they're after your tail. That seriously does not work really well in either dental or medical. You tend to get on a list in the area. People start to know about that, and that's just not a good thing to do. So definitely tell them up front. The other thing with medical is trying to figure out what you can do for yourself in the first place. Really bad headache. Well, how bad is it? Again, sit down, write it down on a piece of paper. Really, just I've had a headache now for 4 days and I don't know what to do with it. Well, that doesn't mean on Friday at 5 o'clock you're headed to the emergency room. That probably means that if you've had a headache for 5 days, see if you can figure out what it is. And if it changes in any way for the sixth day, then you need to go. But what do you really do about that? Do you say, I woke up from sleep and I got this crash headache and I fell on the floor? Well, if it's Friday at 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, then you go. You don't wait for the next day or try to find another doctor. It's also about types of doctors, you know, let's say, I've heard people tell me many times, well, I live in a really affluent area and I'll never be able to find a doctor here who will work with me. Okay, so what? Get on the bus, get in the corner, go down to a different neighborhood and see about a doctor there. Doctors have all gone to medical school. They had to pass some sort of test. They're not all bones ridiculously not paying attention. They're all going to help you. And I can tell you from experience, my daughter is on a trip right now, and she's out of the country, and she says, oh, I cannot breathe, I don't know what to do, and she's coughing. So she went to the doctor in the place that she's in, and they said, you have pneumonia, you have an ear infection, you have a sinus infection. Great. What'd they give her? Z-Pak. Now, do you think that that doctor in that country and the doctor in our country, and then affluent or not, or community service or not, or emergency room or urgent care are any different? Every single one of them will probably write that same consensus down, Z-Pak. So you in your head thinking or worrying about where you're going, who's going to say something, why you shouldn't ask, maybe you just need to write down your own fears on one side of the paper, then turn it over. And then start writing down your symptoms. And if you write them down, by the time you get to the emergency room or the doctor's office, you're pretty clear and concise in what you need to say. If you wait until you walk in and they're asking you questions and you go, well, let's see, maybe this, and you wait for their questions, you have a potential for getting the wrong diagnosis. Try to be a little bit more proactive. And as you're a little bit more proactive in giving them the information, then you have a better chance at them being able to help you. If you turn around and say, I have a horrible headache on Monday, I'll tell you, I couldn't even stand up straight. But now I have a headache and it just seems to be in my ear. But you left out a part about it being in your ear. Well, they're still going to give you something for your headache, but then it might not have looked in your ears. So maybe you need to tell them that, or that I was throwing up for the past 3 days. Every time I stand up with this headache, I'm throwing up. Seriously important things you need to be telling the doctor. Also, if you were exposed to anything, I can remember we went into a building after Hurricane Katrina, and as soon as I walked in the front door, I said, I smell mold. It's raining outside. The air conditioning's on, but I still smell mold. My husband said, whatever, we have this appointment, we have to go, let's just go and be done with it. I did. Within 2 days, we were both in the emergency room, seriously ill. Seriously ill from that mold in the building. And the medications and the drugs then, you know, it just escalated beyond belief. So if you have an instinct about an exposure, or if you think that you may be around someone that's sick and you probably shouldn't be, start taking a little bit more notice of that. Stay away from these people. You know, it's time to be standing up for that and just say, you know, oh, well, whatever. The oh, well, whatever, when you don't have the funds, you don't have high-end insurance, if you take care of yourself, you have a much better chance for yourself. If you'd like any further help, my website is www.outofthebox.healthcare.com. I also have a few other websites, which will also be listed on the sidebar of that website, and they are www.theroseproject.com. And at theroseproject.com, I just talk about communities and how things can improve, where all of these communities after the economic downturn are having so many issues, and how do you bring good back in when so many things have been failing. The other website is www.lifepockets.com. At lifepockets.com, I talk about safety after disasters or earth events. Let's say your electricity is out. Well, it's really important to know if electricity has been out more than 6 to 12 hours, you need to throw everything in your refrigerator away. If it's potentially very hot in the 90s and 100s, as it's been on the East Coast lately, and you have no electricity for more than 24 to 48 hours, all of your cans should be going in the garbage because it's so hot in your house it can actually boil in the can. And then what do you do about the economy? You know, I just went to the grocery store. I have all this food, and I can't throw it out. I'm going to eat it anyway and get sick. Well, if you have insurance, renters, or homeowners, they pay to restock your refrigerator and your pantry. So all you do is you say, call in the claim. They will tell you what to do, how much coverage you have. You go get the food and everything, bring them the receipts, and you're good to go. At outoftheboxhealthcare.com, I help providers. Let's say you are a patient and you really needed to get some help. You're reading the books. You don't know how to start taking care of yourself. I can help you there. If you're a healthcare provider or a dental provider and you're just vision of what you really want to get out of life anymore in your practice, you're finding things aren't working, I can help with that. So there are many different avenues and venues that I work with. And the reason I do that is because I've been in healthcare since 1972. I've also had many life challenges, earth challenges, children, family, you name it. It seems to me that I've always been touching it. And that's kind of good in the way. You know, everybody says, oh, you must have been looking for that trouble or it's just coming to you or whatever. No, I think the reason that I've experienced a lot of things is so that when I do meet someone else that is having that same experience, I can fall right into that space with them and understand where they are, what's going on for them, and how I can help. I can tell you I've been without medical insurance many, many, many years. I've been without dental insurance many, many years. I have worked for dentists, and they would not take care of our teeth or my family. I have worked with medical practitioners, same thing. I've had golden care, the top of the line for Humana, and paid my $900 a month for just myself and still got a quality of care that I just shake my head. I say, this one was good. This one was so out of the realm, I just can't even fathom that I paid that $800 to $900 a month for that insurance. So I can tell you there's very varied experiences. And those experiences are a gift because they allow me to understand other people in the places that they are in. I think when someone says, oh, I understand, I'm so sorry for your loss, I feel what you are going through, oh, I'm listening and I understand, and they have absolutely no clue, then I think it's time for you to say thank you so much for sharing that you might be able to help. But it's time I find somebody else that will be able to. Because there are many that can help, but there are many that can't help. And it's very difficult in this day to have that touch. You know, I've even worked with a lot of elderly people who said, you know, I've been sitting in this chair in this house for months. No one's ever come to even see me. And no one's ever even called up. My phone doesn't even ring. You know, people are looking for the touch, the connection, speaking to them, helping with them. When you go into the offices, the medical and the dental, speak with them, look at them, connect with them, pay attention to them. Don't be fooling with your cell phone or your kids or your spouse or whatever else. Pay attention. Open up. Pay attention to what's in front of you. You know, reach out to other people when you need help. And if you think that they don't understand, then ask them back. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Or can you tell me that back? So maybe I didn't relay it correctly to you. Sometimes if you notice they aren't paying attention, say, excuse me, can we just go over that again? Because I think I forgot something. And let them read it back to you and see if they have everything. There's a lot of times that they don't. And definitely stand up for yourself. So if you need help, the best thing I would suggest, ask for help. So many people are not asking for help. They're sitting back, and the world is not there to put it on you. It's for you to ask. So everybody should be able to ask. If you need any help, please go to any of my websites, and you could email me at the Contact Us page, and I will get back to you. Again, my website, www.outofthebox.healthcare.com. And please follow me on this show. Every single week, I try to put up one or two shows. I will in the future. And it will be on very different topics. We might be talking about your water, your food, your medical care, planting. It might be about a storm coming. It could be just about anything. But you never know when you might find something that would interest you. So please do follow my show. And I hope to see you again. I think I have a show scheduled in the next few days. So hope to hear from you then. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you.